Welcome to Connections. I'm Rick Moore, along with Bill Newell. We are at midweek as June rolls along, and here in our local neighborhood, weather getting a little bit better, and things calming down across the region. This is Connections. We'll be talking with former Gloucester Mayor today, former Gloucester Mayor Carolyn Kirk. She has ascended to the State House region for several years now, and now she is the Executive Director of the Massachusetts Technology Collaborative, and she's got some important information to pass along and some interesting information as well. So, Bill, welcome. How are we?
We're fine. So now we can use our June is busting out all over reference that I sprung on you by surprise, I think, sometime last month at the end of the month. Well, as we were approaching somebody, you had mentioned June, and I said, oh, June is busting out all over. And that's, anyway,
did
that's.
Did we say that was from Oklahoma?
I don't know. I can check now. I almost should have checked that, but
I think we. You know, I love Google. I don't know about you, but when I was teaching, when I was a student too, you know, look it up on your Funkin' Wagnalls. Look it up in the dictionary, and I used to love it when they'd say, "I don't know how to spell a word. How do I spell this?" And the teacher would say, "Look it up." Well, I don't know how to spell it. How can I look it up? But with Google, I mean, it's just fantastic.
I know. No, it was. It's Carousel from Carousel.
Carousel. Ah, okay.
But a Rodgers and Hart song. So, yeah.
There we go.
So maybe we can maybe we can stick that in our post here today. June is busting out all over our reference to that. There we go. We can do it, I think.
I scanned the papers this morning, and there were some very interesting I don't want to call them protests. I'll call them demonstrations up on the North Shore in Amesbury and Newburyport and Gloucester. And the one in Gloucester, and by the way, all of them were peaceful. All of them were respectful. And the one in Gloucester was actually initiated by a student, a Gloucester High School student. Her name is Emily Polk, age 17. And just tremendous stuff. And it, as you know, yesterday I thought when we were chatting, it was so difficult, and it was for want of a better word, depressing. But today the sun's a little brighter. It looks like it's a little calmer across the nation.
Not literally brighter, though.
Yeah, no, well, it is right now.
Okay. All right, maybe we're in a different spot. Yeah. Okay.
I guess we'll use figuratively, but things seem to be a little bit better today, and at least across the region, things have been pretty calm.
Right. A couple of notes here that did not make the so-called newscast, if you will, but the Beverly City Council Monday night approved an emergency order to help restaurants prepare to open their doors. The council voted to temporarily change city ordinances to allow restaurants to serve alcohol on city sidewalks, parking spaces, and other public spaces to display sidewalk signs without permit. Okay, so that means they can put a sign out on their sidewalk and say, hey, come and sit here and grab a beer.
I was going to say, does the beer get delivered to the car?
No, it sounds like, you know, if you drove up on the sidewalk, you could get a beer.
If you drove up on the sidewalk, you might have already had a beer or two.
What is this? What is this? The Cape and the Kennedys? Come on. Okay.
Oh, Lordy mercy.
Yeah. But so that's one story. And mm-hmm. I have one other story. Not as funny, by the way.
All right, I can jump in with one.
Go ahead,
for a second,
yeah.
Or you want me to? Okay, I guess in Gloucester, the superintendent search for new superintendent of schools is narrowing, and community members will be getting the chance to meet the final two candidates virtually. The school committee organized two virtual public meet and greet events, and let me just go through here. One is June 3, which is today, from 6 to 7:30 p.m. That will be a Zoom meeting, and of course, I can't find the other one when that one. And it also doesn't give any information as to how you get onto that Zoom meeting. So my suggestion would be to go to the Gloucester website to get the link for that.
Also, our old buddy Dustin Luca from the Salem News writes in today's paper that the ride-sharing company Zagster. Now, if somebody had told me what Zagster was, I'm not following this as closely as I should have. I said, I don't think I know what Zagster is, but it sounds like an online kind of, website or something, you know, that's what it sounds like, Zagster. But they are the city bike sharing people. And so they're pulling out of Salem, I guess. Zagster has provided the bike sharing system in Salem since 2017 and electronic scooters for the past year. The contract, a three-year deal amended to include scooters in the final year, ended in May without an extension, according to Dave Kucharski, the city's traffic and parking director. The move was not a total surprise. So there's obviously much more on that story. So if you're, hey, we're in Salem. Hey, let's get one of those Zaxters. Not happening anymore. But there you go.
Well, I'm not really a bike guy anyway, but again, not surprised. Hey, you know, the other thing, Bill, is have you seen any stats on the numbers on the North Shore in terms of COVID-19? Because, excuse me, we were bombarded every day with statistics for months and months and months, and I haven't seen anything or any graphs or anything, whether or not this thing is headed south, it's jumping off the cliff. Are we getting better? Or have you seen anything at all?
Yeah, no. In our North Shore Today post, we have some graphs from Salem, city of Salem, that they released yesterday from their. And yeah, the numbers are better. So the recoveries are better. The number of cases are better. The number of new cases are better, and so on. However, you know, it's not like a steep decline, though. So I mean, if you look at those, you go to our North Shore Today post, and we pulled out two of the graphs that, you know, there are other graphs that they sent as well, but those are two of them. And you have links, and you can go look at the other ones. But I think that they're pretty much. You know that they're doing better. I wonder if while we're doing this here.
Yeah, it looks like the numbers are very low in Salem, so that's good.
Yeah, and they've been good news. Yeah, they've been getting better, obviously, as well.
Yeah, and you know what? I do have, since I brought it up, if I can scramble through the paper here or make noise over the microphone, I do have the numbers from the Gloucester Times very quickly. In Gloucester, 241 confirmed coronavirus cases last Wednesday. At least 21 residents have passed away. 1,462 have been tested, 172 recovered. Rockport, same as last Wednesday, 76 confirmed cases. Essex, 24 on Sunday. That's up 2 from last Wednesday. And Manchester has 18 last Wednesday, 168 tested. So the numbers are seemingly pretty small on Cape Ann anyway.
Yeah, I'm looking at, I'm looking at Lynn here, and I'm not sure if I'm reading this graph right, but their new cases look like they're way, way down, as of now.
Good.
Yeah, so that's a good sign. And, you know, this was not new. This is from May 29, but so maybe that's, they have a total of 80. Yeah, here we go. So they had, on May 29, they had 15 new cases. Now, that still seems to me, you know, it seems, you know, that still seems like a lot, but it's not like it was, that's for sure. So that's probably a good sign, I guess.
Well, I think the thing is, too, is with testing and with getting more data and so on, people could have been, you know, they could have gotten this a long time ago, and now it's just being cataloged, because before the numbers were just skyrocketing. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed, and I have, I've got one mask in the wash machine and one mask in my pocket.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest fear, the biggest problem I have now is I had been washing them. I had a couple, then one broke, and the one that I hadn't used is the one that broke. And so, anyway, they were homemade by a nice, thoughtful relative, but. But I shouldn't complain. But they're perfect. They're great. And
have you gone out in the car and been driving along, say, uh-oh, I forgot my mask and had to drive back yet?
No, you know what I do is I've walked out of the house and tried to walk down the street and forgot them many times. But what I try to do, and which I know I don't have one now, but I try to put one in the car, just leave it in the car, just leave it on the seat. And then there's a better chance. If I try to do that, there's a better chance that when I leave, I may have a mask with me. Yeah, I know.
Well, I know when I go out running, I run every other day, and my running route is usually devoid of people. But wouldn't you know, there's construction, there's, the roads, the police and everything else. So I go back and forth across the road, so I make sure I don't get near anybody, because I just can't run with a face covering on. I can't do it.
No, you can't. No, this that's not going to work. All right, so... Rick, again, we have Carolyn Kirk coming up on the program.
We do. And looking forward to it. Great to talk with the former mayor. She's got a lot of insightful information. I wasn't quite sure what the Mass Technology Collaborative is, but she explains it. And kind of a little bit of a twist there that we have on North Shore Today, a clip from it. There's actually they've actually created some new jobs. There's been one of the companies that has flipped from whatever it was doing to manufacturing PPEs in the millions, apparently, has actually brought back all of its staff and even hired new people. So there is that little bit of victory dance that we can do with respect to that.
A daily news podcast for the North Shore, North Shore Today. North Shore Sports Night, Monday nights at 7, as we keep you connected with the North Shore.
All right, we're back now with Carolyn Kirk, who is the executive director of the Massachusetts Technology Collaborative. And Madam Mayor, I had to say it, welcome back to MSO.
Thank you. It's great to hear your voice, and it is great to be back.
Well, I'll tell you, Ms. Kirk, you have you've traveled some distances here, and now as executive director of Mass Tech, it's a huge role that is being played, especially during this time of crisis. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what the Massachusetts Technology Collaborative is, and then what your role is as the executive director is.
Sure, happy to. So I've been in the role for just about a year. And prior to that, I was the deputy secretary up at the Executive Office of Housing and Economic Development, which is the job that I left the mayor's office for. So I've been with the administration now for, almost six years. And the Mass Tech Collaborative is a public economic development agency, and our mission is to strengthen the tech and innovation economy throughout Massachusetts. And under the tech innovation economy umbrella falls a number of different areas, one of which is manufacturing, particularly advanced manufacturing. And so the work of the response to COVID-19 takes place within that lane of manufacturing. But some of the other areas are cybersecurity, digital health, broadband for unserved communities in Western Mass, and a number of emerging tech and innovation areas through the Innovation Institute, which is also part of Mass Tech, such as AI, which is artificial intelligence, fintech, blockchain, quantum. So a very robust portfolio.
So in your role as executive director, have you been able to, you talk about getting technology, getting internet, and all that other stuff. Have you done that with other communities? Are there parts of Massachusetts that are sort of black holes, and the Mass Tech Collaborative tries to fill those in, type thing?
Yeah. So believe it or not, there have been up until the recent past 53 communities out of 351 that either have no internet service whatsoever or are just partially served. So the Mass Broadband Institute, which falls under the Mass Tech umbrella, has made a very concerted effort to bring broadband to those communities. And the Baker-Polito administration has put in, almost $100 million towards the effort. It's really quite impressive between the middle mile, which is the backbone, and the last mile, which is bringing that internet connection to people's homes. The investment is substantial. So we have, of those 53, every single one of the towns is on a path to be connected, or they have been connected. And especially in this day when people have been encouraged to work from home, it is such a difference maker for, obvious reasons. And those of us with a good internet take it for granted, but there are towns in Massachusetts that have not had it.
Wow, I didn't realize that. That's hard to believe. Now, has it become more difficult with the addition of kids having to work from home? Is that part of what the Mass Tech Collaborative would be involved in terms of getting kids online and getting schools online and helping them, work together?
Yeah, the schools pretty much have the connections through sort of what's called the middle mile and the backhaul connection. It's really the getting that service to the home, which is problematic. And that's where, and a lot of these schools in Western Mass are regional, so you have the situation where some students have access to the internet in their community and some don't, and then they all go to the same school, and so there's this inequity. And that really was the motivating factor, one of many, for the governor to step up to this challenge and put the resources in to make sure that these children all had an equal opportunity for not only online learning in today's environment, but also the learning that's taken place for the last couple of years more and more for having homework online, assignments online, and all the rest.
What about other aspects of the response to COVID-19, Madam Mayor? In terms of PPEs or other manufacturing, what's the interface between the state and companies, and how is that working? What are some of the things that you're doing to support the battle against this virus?
Yeah, so the Mass Tech Collaborative, most of its work is done through collaborations, and those collaborations are with industry, with academia, and the role that government can play. And in our advanced manufacturing sector that of work that we focus on, we have the Advanced Manufacturing Collaborative, and it is made up of those components. So as soon as COVID-19 sort of hit and people suddenly became aware of the need for surgical gowns or surgical masks or N95 masks, all of the PPE that you hear about, our manufacturing community stood up and said, we want to help. And so companies came forward through that Advanced Manufacturing Collaborative, and we were quickly able to seize and galvanize that community and bring together experts from academia, mostly MIT and UMass Lowell, to support those companies in pivoting their operations to producing PPE. Mm-hmm. So, for example, New Balance, they make sneakers. Well, now they are going to be having produced their millionth mask in short order. 99 Degrees is a company up in Lawrence, and they were making apparel, and they're now making medical gowns. Textile manufacturer Merrow in Fall River, again, they are making medical gowns now, and they had never made this type of product before. So our team of experts helped guide these companies through supply chain issues, you know, where can they get the fabric, or regulatory issues about, well, it's a medical product, how do we make sure it complies with regulations around use in a hospital? Testing resources. So let's, you know, figure out what test capability can be proven of the product. What is the, it's a long story, but liquid barrier protection is very important right. with a respiratory virus that can be transmitted through droplets. So a huge learning curve for a lot of folks, but gathering their experts together to really help these companies has made a big difference in getting the PPE into the hands of the people that need it.
As former mayor of Gloucester, you and Senator Bruce Tarr go way back, and now you're working collaboratively, if I could use that word, in Boston.
Yep.
And, you know, Senator Tarr early on was mentioning the difficulty in getting some of the PPEs nationally or through a national chain and so on. And then he mentioned the Mass Tech. He mentioned your name. So you and the senator working together on this, has we've heard as a layperson, I've heard how difficult or how sometimes the federal government has kind of, I don't want to say intervened, but sort of has put roadblocks up for states getting what they need in terms of PPEs and doing exactly all the things you just mentioned. So by doing this on a local level or on a state level, have you guys been able to sort of restock what you need? Are you able to bypass going through, going through red tape?
Well, so the effort on the part of the Commonwealth has been twofold. One is through the command center that has been stood up in response to COVID-19, sourcing these materials throughout the entire world and really putting a team together to say, where can we get these products quickly and in quantity? And so that effort has been going on, and that's been overseen through the command center. And then the effort that I have been working through is, okay, what can we do domestically, specifically in Massachusetts? Because, again, remember, this pandemic has hit the entire world. So every state, every country is chasing down these products. So our goal was to open up a brand new source, which is what we've been able to accomplish with the companies in Massachusetts that have stepped forward and started producing.
There's an additional requirement now for businesses as they reopen to supply or have on supply one or the other or both of PPEs. Is that an additional burden for what you're involved with?
No, not at all. It's actually a great opportunity because these companies that are pivoting, they're saying to themselves, is this just a blip or is this a product line that I can actually make an investment in and continue on for years to come? And so, because one of the questions we get from manufacturers is, okay, who's my customer at the end of all of this or at the beginning of it all? And understanding what the demand is for these products is really important for the manufacturers to make the investment that they need. So we opened up a portal on mass.gov, and we had over 700 companies in Massachusetts and some outside Massachusetts step forward and say, we want to help and pivot our operations. Now, when you peel that back, there was about 450 of those who were actually companies in Massachusetts who could pivot their operations. And then of that, we probably had just over 50 that actually, at the end of the gauntlet of working with our team on all that regulatory stuff, the labeling, the testing, et cetera, who came through that gauntlet and are actually in production. Mm-hmm. But that said, and that includes swabs, test swabs, there's probably 4 million pieces of PPE, including test swabs, that have been produced through the process. So, you know, it's been very attractive for the businesses.
That's interesting. So some of these businesses will continue doing that, or they could double up, go back to maybe what they were doing, but there's going to be a demand for these products for the foreseeable future.
Yes. Yeah. We had part of our project with the MERT, it's called the Massachusetts Emergency Response Team, the Manufacturing Emergency Response Team. We had MIT Lincoln Labs did a demand study that did a calculation that was tied to, you know, the disease model of the virus of maybe, you know, when does it go away, when does it abate, when does it come back, and the numbers of surgical masks or gowns is staggering over the next 18 months. Mm-hmm. in the hundreds of millions.
Good heavens. All right. Well, hello.
Just in Massachusetts.
Just in Massachusetts. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
My goodness. Well, Ms. Kirk, I kind of don't know what else to ask, so maybe you could guide me on this if there's something else that you would like to mention, because I really appreciate the opportunity and you're taking the time to talk with us today. So please, if there's anything else that you want to talk about.
Yeah, I think, you know, the manufacturing community that stepped up to produce the PPE, they did it for a variety of reasons. And I just saw a report today from my staff that is showing the numbers of jobs that have been retained or increased as a result of the effort of these manufacturers. So there was one factory that had laid off their entire staff, 200 people. And every single one of those people have been brought back to participate in the production of the PPE. So in this time of such difficult economic climate and the job losses, to be able to have our manufacturing industry sort of step forward, be creative and pivot and keep people employed is just one of the bright spots. And really grateful to the partners that we have through Mass Manufacturing Extension Partnership, which is Mass MEP, MIT folks, UMass Lowell, MIT Lincoln Labs, the staff at Mass Tech. I mean, it's really been a collaborative effort, and Senator Tarr is such a big part of the glue for all of that, and he has been just so supportive, because I think he really understood there are many, many bottom lines here that are benefiting from the work.
Well, it's nice to get some positive news, and Ms. Kirk, I thank you so much for your time, and we'll talk again soon, I hope.
Okay, great, Rick. Thanks.
All right, hold on. That is executive director of the Massachusetts The Massachusetts Technology Collaborative. There we go. That is Ms. Carolyn Kirk. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.